Welcome back to Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bulbarch joined alongside Matt Douglas, taking you through a rainy Friday afternoon, and we'll take you into your Friday evening as well. One of our favorite segments of the entire week, not just ours, but for the listeners as well, because two great things happen here. A, we get to talk to Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network, and B, we're giving away tickets as well, so stay tuned at the very end of our interview with Jim Rosenhaus, because you'll find out how you can win a four-pack of tickets to see the Indians down at Progressive Field, thanks to our good friends at North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. Well, fresh off a nine-game road trip, Rosie's rested up and ready to rock and roll. Rosie, we appreciate the time, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing great. Great to be back home.
Well, it was one heck of a trip. I mean, certainly a roller coaster ride, taking two out of three from the Tigers, then being swept over the weekend by Kansas City, and then pulling off a sweeper, defeating Seattle three straight games in a row, a team that certainly gave the Indians some fits last year. But, Rosie, the pitching was just sensational in the Emerald City at the beginning of the week. And I want to go back a couple days to the performance turned in by Carlos Carrasco. I mean, he was just terrific. Some of the things that you heard about Carrasco were, you know, confidence, poise, some of the things that maybe he was missing in his previous start. What was it that you saw from Carrasco 2 days ago that he was missing in his previous start?
Really just going out and throwing the way he's capable of. He had mentioned after the start that he really thought it was just a slight mechanical thing that had held him back a little bit in his prior start, where he didn't make it out of the first inning. And, you know, talking to Terry Francona and Carlos himself, he didn't quite get after it the way you need to. And one of the things that has been a career turnaround for him was that trip to the bullpen, where he got that mentality of, you know, every hitter means something, and they're, you know, don't pace yourself. Just fire away for that one inning and then see where it takes you. And he carried that into being a starting pitcher too, and didn't really worry about, you know, hey, I got to pace myself to go seven or eight innings. He would just let it fly and let everything else take care of itself, and hopefully he would get that far. And that worked really well for him, but for whatever reason, and it happens, he got away from that in his prior start, but got right back to it on Wednesday. The velocity was there, the sharpness of his breaking pitches was there, and it was the Carrasco that we've grown accustomed to more often than not.
And while he was terrific through seven, Nick Wittgren was just outstanding in the final two innings of the game. And, you know, at the beginning of the season, a lot of times you hear managers, coaches, and players talk about how, you know, for guys who are here, this is going to be a little bit of an audition. And for a guy like Nick Wittgren, that's certainly the case. He began the year at AAA, and then he was called up. Rosie, he was terrific. What are some things that you see from Nick Wittgren that really kind of stand out?
Well, pretty much what we saw in spring training, which was he goes right after the hitters. You know, he has good enough stuff where he can trust his stuff, throw strikes, be aggressive, and, you know, work inside a little bit, all that good stuff. And really, when you look back on it, I think if he was in a different situation contract-wise and where he is in terms of options, he had them, I don't think he would have gone to AAA, because he clearly was one of the better arms in camp out of the bullpen. And, you know, in a different situation may have earned a spot, but because he had options, the Indians wanted to keep some flexibility there, and knowing that there would be moves in the pen eventually, and you like to have that flexibility with pitchers with options, so he fell into that category. But at a certain point in time, talent wins out, and I think he's pretty talented and has a really good mindset out there. So we saw all that come together in a two-inning stint to end the game on Wednesday.
Rosie, how important is it for the reliability of the bullpen, for Tito to kind of have that reliability in the bullpen, to be able to give a guy like Brad Hand, who's taken on a truckload of work here in the early going of the season, to be able to give him the night off?
You have to, especially in April. You can't burn out your closer. You know, he had pitched the three straight days, and he's a big, strong guy. He's like, yeah, I'll be fine. Just throw me out there another day. But that doesn't make sense, because Once you get past that point of overuse, there's no going back. And we may have seen that a year ago in the case of Cody Allen. I'm not sure if you guys remember, but early in the season, the Indians were struggling in the bullpen, so the starters were being stretched and Allen was being stretched, and he just never got on that good roll in the second half that we've seen before. And I think part of it was the, you know, a lot of usage out of necessity early. And so, you know, I think Tito's in a situation here where he can say to Brad Hand, you're not pitching today. It doesn't matter what happens. You're not pitching. We're going to try and get it done with someone else. And they may have lost that game on Wednesday if things had not gone well for Nick Whitgren. But look at the plus side. Now you've found out that if there's that situation comes up again, and it will, they have at least one pitcher, and maybe more than that, but at least they know that Whitgren can handle the back end of the bullpen, something he's done in his minor league career, hasn't had the opportunity in the big leagues, but knows how to get it done from past experience, and I think we saw that on Wednesday.
We're talking with Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. I know we're not quite a month in here, but I just want to throw this out there. Rosie, do you think that the bullpen has been the most pleasant surprise of the season thus far based on the expectations at the beginning of the season with all that was lost a year ago, and there were some virtual unknowns coming into this season? Do you think that unit has really kind of been the biggest surprise so far?
You know what, Bo? I think that's fair to say. I really do. I think heading into the season, and really when you look at the bullpen roster, most of the pitchers on it were here last year, just to varying extents. And I think the big key is Simber and Hand are now here from the beginning instead of coming on midway through. So certainly, like, if you look back to opening day a year ago, it's very, very different. But if you do look back at last year, they didn't get a whole lot from Andrew Miller because of injury and then ineffectiveness. And Cody Allen had, by his standards, not his best year. So, you know, with those guys lost from a year ago, you're not missing that much. Now, from the 2016 versions of both and 17 as well, you miss a lot. But, you know, I think Dan Otero has been solid. Simber has taken a big step forward. We saw Whitgren the other day. Man, it seems like Neil Ramirez is close, and then he gets a ding for a home run. It seems each outing, but his stuff is so good, you just feel like it's going to be something that comes together at some point. So there's some good pieces out there. And yes, I think heading into the season, if you had said that the bullpen would do what it's done in this first month, that would be a real pleasant surprise.
Certainly, the proof is in the pudding. There's no question about that. That whole unit has been very, very good, and they've endured a couple of changes along the way. But, you know, the offense certainly kicked it into high gear a few times over this road trip. But, Rosie, I'm not so sure that anybody stood out on the roadie offensively, anyhow, more than Leonis Martin. I think he hit about 375 on that nine-game trip, and at the top of the order, he just continues to get it done. You know, what was it that really stood out to you the most about him over that nine-game trip?
Getting on base. I mean, in addition to, you mentioned he hit 375, but he'll take his walks. He's doing okay there in terms of on-base percentage. And he brought up a great point. You know, he's been around a while, but it's been hard for him to nail down an everyday role with whatever team he's been with. He's had a couple of stretches where that's happened, but not real consistent. And just the way the outfield was shaping up as spring training got deeper along, you had a hunch that, you know, he's going to be your center fielder on pretty much an everyday basis. And it just makes sense the way the lineup has been to hit him leadoff. And he brought up a great point the other day. He said, look, it has made a difference knowing that he's going to be in the lineup every day. Not necessarily leading off, but that helps. And he took an 0-for-5, I want to say Tuesday, or maybe it was Monday night, he took an 0-for-5. And he said he didn't have to worry about whether he was in the lineup the next day. He knew he would be, and it can settle you down a little bit. And he didn't feel like he had to press to get a base hit and impress the coaching staff. He feels they have faith in him already. So that makes a big, big difference. And who knows? Maybe, you know, at this stage of his career, maybe the Indians are getting the best of him because of the situation that he's in.
That's an interesting way of looking at it. I hadn't really thought of it that way. But, you know, he's certainly making a case here, Rosie, to continue to stay in the leadoff spot. And the beautiful thing about baseball is that sometimes you ask questions that you might not have the answer to for a couple of days or a couple of weeks. You know, when Frankie Lindor comes back, they've got to find a spot for him somewhere at the top of the order. And I know a lot of people think he may lead off. Has that conversation begun just yet as to where he's going to slide in and what they might do with Martin in case they do put Lindor back in the leadoff spot?
I imagine that Tito's talked about it with some others, be it in the front office or other coaches. But you have some nice flexibility there. If you want to leave Martin there and maybe slide Lindor into the number three hole or wherever, maybe you do move him back but to the leadoff spot. But it's a nice problem to have, and some of that may be dictated on where they think Frankie is. It sure seems like he's going to play this weekend, maybe even tonight. And, you know, who knows, maybe they slide him in somewhere else just to get him going instead of in that leadoff spot. But it's nice to know you have a couple of hitters now that can man that spot in the lineup and kind of make the offense go.
Rosie, you've been around the game for quite some time. When you have a leadoff hitter like Martin, who's having the success he is, do you get a trickle-down effect in the guys behind him? I know Santana has been doing extremely well this year, regardless of who's batting in front of him, but knowing he's got that RBI opportunity more often than not when Martin's getting on base the way he is?
Well, you know, you look at teams that are good offensively, and obviously the Indians have struggled so far this season, but there's very few teams that are good offensively that don't have a good leadoff hitter. So, sure, I think it can impact especially that top of the lineup. And you mentioned Santana. I mean, there's been good RBI opportunities because of the work that Martin has done. So it helps. When Lindor's up there doing his thing, it helps. And in the American League, you know, Martin's hit with a little bit of power. When you're a leadoff hitter, because the pitcher doesn't bat, you have a better chance of coming to the plate later on in the game with someone on base. So it's not only important to be quick and be able to steal a base and get on base, but you got to be able to drive them in too in the American League. And I think the Indians are fortunate that whether it's Lindor or Martin, both of them can get a run in.
I want to go back to Lindor for just a moment here, Rosie, if we can, just because I think at the beginning of this whole thing, we're thinking, all right, a calf and then it's an ankle. And, you know, I think it was about 2 weeks ago when we talked, and the thought at that time was, all right, maybe it's a week to 10 days. And I think we had kind of targeted the beginning of May as a realistic return date for him. Has this whole thing really kind of caught the organization a little bit by surprise, the fact that he has recovered as quickly as he has, and not only recovered, but at least at the AAA level, he kind of looked like he automatically returned to form, you know, home ring twice in three games. He's hitting for extra bases, and it looks like there really haven't been any major setbacks.
No, there haven't. I think maybe the surprise, I thought he might be down on the rehab assignment a little bit longer than he has been, but, you know, gosh, he's just tearing the cover off the ball. So why leave him down there? And look, there is a need at shortstop for the Indians, and they're not going to bring him up here if he's not healthy and ready to go. I think he's healthy, and it sure seems like his swing is fine, so why not bring him up? And is it great? Yeah, I'm going to say it is. I didn't think April 19th would be the day where he would be up here just based on how things were going. But, you know, they did kind of say that it was going to be a 7 to 10 day process from when he got back from that trip to Green Bay, which is about what it was in terms of building up his baseball activities. I just thought it might be 7 to 10 days out on the rehab assignment, not three. But that's Frankie, and it'll be great to have him back, whether it's tonight or at some point this weekend.
No doubt about it. Well, Rosie, if you could wave your magic wand and make these ominous clouds go away so we can get all three of these games in this weekend, that would be fantastic. We know you've got that kind of pull, my friend, but we appreciate
it. That would be something, wouldn't it?
Oh, well, you know what? If you had that kind of power, you'd be a very, very wealthy man because you could do more than just affect baseball games. But we certainly appreciate the time as always, Rosie. We look forward to doing this again next week.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Thank you, Rosie. Again, Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. The Tribe taking on the Atlanta Braves in a three-game interleague series. That begins a little bit later on tonight. Lucky for all of you tuning in out there right now, we're giving away some tickets. Thanks to our good friends at North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads, we're giving away tickets to next Tuesday's game between the Tribe and the Miami Marlins at Progressive Field. Thanks to North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. 440-322-0930. That's the number to call. 440-322-0930. We'll take the first caller. If you call and you win, you get four tickets to see the Indians take on the Miami Marlins down at Progressive Field this coming Tuesday, thanks to our good friends at North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. Time for a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. We will return with more fun and excitement after this on AM 930 WEOL.